Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
You were the better man. And my career is officially over. So I wish you all the luck in the world. Bad luck.
Oh, come on!
Yes!
Angle slam!
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle. And you're listening to The Pain Clinic. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for April 13th. A couple holidays today. It's International Plant Appreciation Day. Oh. National Peach Cobbler Day. Isn't that every day? And Scrabble Day. Happy 49th birthday to former Impact wrestler, WWE wrestler, and Buffalo Bill Monty Brown. You might remember him as Marcus Corvan in WWE. He was in ECW. He is 49 today. Happy birthday, sir. The Pink. And you know what? He retired right after he got cut by ECW. So I thought that was pretty, you know, it was a, you know what? And not a lot of people just stop, you know, and he just stopped. So power to
Didn't he walk away because there was
he had family issues? He had family issues. He's like taking care of kids or something like that. So yeah, there was, you know, he had some stuff going on. I'm going to let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight and Empire Culver. Join us tonight for UFC 236 at Salvatore Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. 10 p.m. start time, so get there early. There'll be drink specials all night long. That's tonight at Salvatore Saloon, Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 236. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show. It's the post-WrestleMania show, baby. Woo! And
we just caught up on sleep.
Yeah, I know. It was like, yeah, you know, the show just ended about an hour ago, and we got here. So, but I am the Cash Man. I'm your humble host, joined by DC Dan Cole on the Twitter thing, as well as on the microphone.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the Danger Boy, the boy who grew up on the show.
Good morning.
And we are joined in the studio by Chris Caden, UPW's Chris Caden. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. We got you got a big show today. UPW is going to be at the Flower City Comic Con tonight.
That is correct. We are back at the Flower City Comic Con yet again.
It is. This is what the third year of the Comic Con, and this third year I think UPW has been wrestling, putting on a show there.
You are absolutely correct.
Do you like how I kind of told people to cut? Yeah, I said UPW is at the Blue Cross Arena. I kind of did that in our tease on Twitter. It's like, you know, I think that's pretty cool because it's like, man, some people like their mission is to wrestle in that place, you know, and I think it's just really cool to get an opportunity to do it, even if it's through the Comic Con, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We are the first, if I am correct to say this, independent wrestling promotion to actually work out of the Blue Cross Arena, other than, of course, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yeah, Impact Wrestling was there once.
Okay,
WCW. But they aren't. They are independent. Neither of those were independent. Those were, you know, major companies.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, ECW is Riverside Convention Center. Yes.
So welcome to the show. Welcome. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a lot of things, but we're going to start off talking about WrestleMania because I know. There's just so much up in the air, and we're going to go.
Nothing happened on Sunday.
No, nothing happened except for, as Bob Matthews sent a Facebook message to me saying, all the good guys won, you know, except for Shane McMahon.
Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle. Well, yeah, Kurt Angle lost too.
Iconics.
But,
Samoa Joe.
Oh, okay, let's talk about some of the controversial stuff. We talked about it briefly last week, the Bret Hart thing, because it happened the night before we were on.
No, it hadn't happened yet.
Oh, it had.
NXT was Friday night.
So, what do you guys think about that whole Bret Hart thing?
It's just more support for dropping the Hall of Fame ceremony altogether.
Absolutely correct.
There's no need for it. I'm sorry. Like, it's cool to see people go in a Hall of Fame, but it's not a physical Hall of Fame, so it's kind of a hollow thing. And there can't be that much interest. I don't think many people watch it.
No.
I know. I don't. Like, I'll look completely for highlights, but that's it.
I completely forgot it was on after Raw this past week on Monday night.
Make it a private thing. Don't worry about televising it. Don't worry about making it a spectacle. Don't do especially don't do a stupid pre-show red carpet. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's enough. You don't need the network content that bad.
Well, I mean, especially.
You can even put it on the network, but you don't have to do it that night.
Exactly.
Make that night one of WrestleMania.
I mean, especially since, if you think about it, that it's getting watered down every year. Some of these people we don't think deserve to be in there get put in there. You know, and I mean, you know, listen, we said Tori Wilson was she's the nod this year too. We're trying to figure out why she's going in there.
I think we renamed the Coco Beware rule.
Yeah, Coco Beware to Tori
Wilson. Tori Wilson rule.
Oh,
I felt
wow.
I felt terrible that that her dad died 2 days before the event, but she still went out and did it. So
good for her though.
But the whole thing with the Bret Hart, the whole incident there, and it's funny is Danger and I were at a bachelor party when that all was going down. He looks over at me and he goes, "Bret Hart just got hit by somebody in the middle of their ceremony." It's like, what?
I may or may not recall telling you that.
I will say you did tell me that. So it's like, I go, really? And so I spent the next hour on Twitter.
Watching Dash knock the dude out.
Yeah. Yes. So that was... that was the beginning of the weekend of controversy, we had a great show that night from Ring of Honor and New Japan, and you know what? They showed it on Access last night. I DVR'd it.
You know what? They also did a poorly timed run-in angle.
Okay, yes. You know who's back, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Is it consensual?
It must be. And can they call himself Enzo and Cass, or can
no.
they?
No.
They, no. What is he
it's
going
probably
like?
Big Kaz and Real
Enzo.
One.
Kaz XL and NZO.
Cash, did you ever watch the show House?
Yes.
Such a good show. You remember the whole thing, like, it's never lupus, the answer is never lupus?
Yes, yes, yes.
The answer to Ring of Honor's problems right now is not Enzo and Cass.
It's never going to be Enzo
It's never no. going to be Enzo and
Cass. And you can't teach that.
Ah. But, it was almost simultaneous with Bret getting attacked as those guys were down in Madison Square Garden showing up. So
the random MMA dude had a better run-in than Enzo and Cass.
Oh, my.
Did you see what happened to Enzo? Did you see who he went against, like, when he jumped the rails? Who caught him?
No, who got him?
The Briscoes.
Oh, boy.
You do not want them boys touching you.
No, definitely.
Because they will throw live rounds at your face.
But I like how Ring of Honor talent knew about it. They didn't tell the New Japan talent.
Yeah. Bubba knew all about it. Not Tama. Tama had no idea.
222-1280-STAR-12A is the number. We got Michael on the line here. Hold on once I bring up the software. It'd probably be good if I do that, if we wanted to talk to people.
Kind of helpful.
It does. So, hey, Mike, how's it going, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. What'd you think?
I went to the shows last weekend, and I had a great time. I really, really enjoyed all three shows.
Really?
Also, WrestleMania just ended like about 10 minutes ago. But other than that, I enjoyed the shows. The funny thing was because I went to the G1 Supercard, I was not at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's like as the Enzo casting was going on and all that was taking place, a guy who was sitting like right next to me like texts me and says, "You know, Bret Hart just got attacked at the Hall of Fame." I'm like, what? What do you mean Bret Hart got attacked at the Hall of Fame? Then I end up finding out about that. So you're right. The timing of that was kind of odd.
It was. And it was really interesting because, like I said, all of a sudden I went on Twitter and all this stuff was coming down all at the same time. So,
all right. So, but my question, I have actually two questions. Number one, is there any chance going forward? Because I actually thought the first half of WrestleMania up until the Kofi through the Kofi match was really good. And then I was there. The crowd just got tired. It's just like... You can only do so much for so long. Mm-hmm. And I just was wondering, like, are they going to have 7.5-hour WrestleManias, like, every year now?
You know, they've talked about doing a 2-day event. I've heard that before, where they're going to split it into 2 days.
They need to.
At this point, they absolutely have to.
Well, New Japan's doing that for the Tokyo Dome next year, right? So maybe that'll be the test pattern.
Yeah, I mean, they've done that before. I think New Japan's done that before on two-day events. So.
Yeah, like you just kind of alluded to, everything after the Daniel Bryan Kofi Kingston match suffered because of the length of the show.
Yes, exactly. Like, I thought, like, considering where it was at the show, I thought the women's match had pretty decent heat, but it would have been much better if it wasn't a seven-hour show. Like, I know that we're in a participation award world now where everybody wants to be on the card and all that, but we really didn't need some of those matches. We just didn't.
No, you're right. And, you know, the thing, we talked about that after the show. We were like, okay, what will you cut out? And, I mean, I hate to say it, but Triple H and Batista would have been one cut.
Yeah, absolutely could have cut that match out.
Well, the thing is that it went way long, too.
Yeah, that was the longest match, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I think it was the longest match.
It went too long. That's what we were thinking when we were watching it. And it's
they
like,
went too long. Miz and Shane went too long.
God,
whereas you have those matches that go on forever and really did nothing, and then you have guys like Samoa Joe and Rey Mysterio, and you have their match be a minute.
Yeah, I thought like the tag title match. I was there live. People were into that match, but it was only like 8-9 minutes, the four-way. Yeah. I thought that was a good match for the time they got. But it's like they cut that time for that match, and like you said, we got to deal with Shane McMahon attempting to throw punches, which is just...
stupid baked potato face.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know, the amazing thing is, how long did it take them once they knew they were going up for the big move? How long? It took forever for them to get to the top.
Forever.
It did.
It was just ridiculous. Like I said, I've been a critic of The Miz for years. I just don't get it. I sort of get it because he's a reality star and he's nice on television and stuff like that. But as far as a worker, he's just horrendous. I'm sorry. He's just horrendous. He's been there for over a decade, and he's not any better.
Yeah, true. I mean, you know, but then there's just guys like just throw fists all the time, you know, too. So, I mean, he can do things. I mean, you just need a guy you can work with who can do it, too. And I don't know about Shane McMahon as a skillful wrestler. He was up for Rookie of the Year many, many, many years ago. But that was about the only time he really was seen in the good light.
Now, Cash, let's throw this out there as a hopeful, optimistic thing. So we know with SmackDown going to Fox, Fox does not want really any cross promotion.
No, it's true.
Absolutely not.
Perfect opportunity.
That's why I felt that they were suddenly merging all these titles in 2 days, you know?
Perfect opportunity. No more Hall of Fame. So Saturday night is night one of WrestleMania, and it's the Raw or SmackDown brand. Sunday night, it's the second night, and it's the opposite brand.
You could do that. It's not a terrible idea because you're right.
Sell two-day passes, work it out with the arenas or stadiums to do two-day parking for people. But start, you know, me and Danger were talking about this before the show. Start by only selling the two-day passes.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. That would be the
then whatever's
to do
left,
it
break it
do
down
that.
Into one-day passes.
Right.
They would as much as they make, because I think this was the second highest grossing WrestleMania ever.
Yep.
It was.
Imagine if they did it for two nights.
Yeah, exactly. My other question, though, was about the G1 Supercard show. When I was there, like, everybody was there for the New Japan guys. Like, all the New Japan guys were over. Everybody was into them. The matches with the New Japan guys was great. But I got to tell you, all the Ring of Honor stuff was not over. They were not over at all. Like, the guys worked hard in the ladder match, but they were not into it. And I've called about this before, but they got to make a deal with AEW. Because they miss those elite guys in Ring of Honor big time.
Oh, yeah.
They miss them big time.
Remember, this is an international crowd, too. So it makes sense that New Japan would, you know, New Japan gets over everywhere. Mm-hmm. But when you bring everybody from one into the one area, I think you're going to get everybody who's into the New Japan, you know?
Yeah, because I think that's part of the reason why that New Japan is struggling with the Dallas tickets. It's because people are worried that they're not going to get their authentic New Japan shows. They're just going to get, like, shows that have some New Japan guys, but also guys from America on there sprinkled in. They got to get rid of Ring of Honor, because Enzo and Cass, I'm sorry, is not the answer to Ring of Honor's problems.
No, I agree.
It's not lupus.
Yeah, it's definitely not. Yeah, I agree, and it's... You know, I mean, I'm glad that you got to go to all three of those. That sounds like an exciting weekend.
Oh, it was, dude. And Cesaro is the best. I don't know if you've seen, like, the Monday Night Raw when they brought those guys out, and obviously everybody crapped on the match because I think a lot of people were there to expect the Undisputed Era to come out and be the interference, not the bar. But Cesaro runs up the ramp, I mean up the steps, and takes this beach ball You will never see a wrestler sprint up these steps faster than Cesaro, dude. It was unbelievable. He smashed a beach ball. Then another guy throws a beach ball. He sprints up the steps again. And I think Seth Rollins, like, knocks him off the apron. And then Seth throws the beach ball. It was hilarious. Like, Cesaro is such a great character in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I remember when he was here in town, you know, doing UPW shows, in fact. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was doing – there's a couple of times. And he was just a nice guy then, too. So
he
deserved all the best things. Well, man, we appreciate it. Appreciate it. I'm glad that you got a chance to go and tell us a little bit about it, and we agree with your criticisms. It's, you know, it's hard. You know, I mean, someone's got to get through to WWE that you can't do a 7.5 hour show. You know,
it's just that they want to go to the shareholders and say to the network, "Well, these are how many people are watching at that moment." I get it, but it's a little much, in my opinion.
It is. Well, thanks for calling, man.
All right, you guys have a great day.
Okay, we got to go to break on that, and we've got Hacksaw Jim Duggan on the flip side. He's going to be in town tomorrow at Flower City Comic Con, and we got a chance to talk with him this week. So I do want to bring up tease a little bit. Sasha Banks and Bayley, there's a lot of controversy going on around them losing the titles to the Iconics. Hopefully we'll remember after Hacksaw to talk about that, because that I think that very interesting, and to see what happens to them, see what happens to Bayley. I mean, look at Bayley lost to Alexa Bliss on Monday Night Raw. That, to me, is that punishment? Is that, you know, I mean,
it was a quick loss.
It was a quick loss. You are correct. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But up next, Hacksaw Jim Duggan on Fox Sports 1280, The Pain Clinic.
Yeah. You know, I... I really thought coming out here tonight would cure what ails me. All it did was reinforce what I've realized over the past 9 months. It genuinely seems like you miss me. I can honestly say, from the bottom of my heart, I honestly did not miss any of this or any one of you. Yeah, so it turns out WWE is a super, like, toxic environment. Yeah, it's not because of the McMahons. And it ain't because of the other WWE superstars. It's because of this audience and your ugliness.
Hello, hey folks, this is Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Tough guy.
All right, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, you're on the air with I am a Cashman Rich Jones, and I'm here with Brian Burke. Brian, say hi.
Well, first thing, fellas, old Hacksaw's got to do is give a big ho. Kind of fires me up nowadays, gets the old wrestler going.
Oh, man. Well, it's good to start that way, sir. We're super excited for you to be in town this weekend. We cannot wait. You're going to be in Sunday here at the Flower City Comic Con, coming in to do autographs all day at the Comic Con. And we're super psyched to see you. Are you going to be signing 2x4s, too?
Oh, yes, sir. You're not kidding. I'll have 2x4s. I guess they got some books. My latest action figure just came out. You know, that's the old joke. People say, Hacksaw, I got your doll. I said, they're not dolls, they're action figures. So, yeah, and it's a great opportunity to meet a lot of the folks and say thank you for all the years of support, you know.
Well, we definitely appreciate that. And I would feel bad if I didn't say that the WWE Hall of Famer, Jim Hacksaw Duggan's on the air with us right now. Because you are a Hall of Famer. They just had the big event last weekend in New York City. Did you get a chance to go to the Hall of Fame ceremonies?
I didn't actually go to the ceremony, but I was down there in New York City for WrestleMania weekend, and of course, 80,000 people from 40 different countries. I do a lot of charity events with the NFL guys, you know, and I always ask them, I'm like, world champions? Where in the world do you fellas go? Wrestling, we go all over the world. And, of course, a whole huge turnout from around the world at the WrestleMania.
Very cool. I was going to say, I just read that you had had some sort of a heart procedure a couple weeks ago, and we were sad. We were thinking we were going to miss you, but thank goodness it was okay, and you're going to be here this weekend.
Yes, sir. As time marches on, I was having some trouble breathing, and I went to the hospital. My heart was out of rhythm. It was AFib, I guess, which is not an uncommon deal with folks. A lot of people have it and live with it their whole lives. But last week I went in, they had a procedure called an ablation and hopefully got me back in rhythm. But Jake the Snake Roberts called me. He says, Duggan, you never had any rhythm, so how can they get you back into it?
Well, that's kind of funny because this is Brian, by the way. I'm one of the producers of the con. I can't wait to see you on Sunday, Jim. But Jake was with us last year, so that's kind of ironic, the statement there.
Jake's one of my best friends. You know, I just he was in my wedding. We just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary on Monday, and Jake was in our wedding. He would have been my best man, but my dad was my best man, God bless him. So Jake and I go way back. We're very close.
Well, congratulations on your anniversary.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to ask you something I've asked a couple guests we've had on before about your experience on the Legends House, what you thought of that. It seemed like you got pretty close with Roddy Piper on there, too, and we really enjoyed watching it.
Well, yeah, thank you. You know, I've had a lot of folks come up and say, you know, I didn't like you as a wrestler, but I liked you on Legend House. And, you know, they were expecting a drama. They pretty much got a comedy out of it. What they did was they took eight wrestling legends, put us in a mansion out in Palm Springs for 5 weeks. So just about anything that could happened. And of course, like I said, Roddy Piper was my roommate, God bless him. So I could get away with anything. I'd blame it on Piper. And he'd be like, no, Duggan did it. I'm like, no, Piper. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. It was just hard being away from, I have two daughters and a wife, you know, it's hard being on the road for 5 weeks. But, like I said, Pipe and I became best friends over that period.
That's great. I remember from my childhood watching you wrestle and thinking of you as super patriotic and looking up to you for that. So how did that come about, that whole angle with you coming out with the flag?
Well, it was way back just as I became Hacksaw Duggan. I was down in Louisiana, in Fort Polk, Louisiana, the Army base down there. I did a lot of work down there. They asked me to carry the flag, and it just seemed right and natural, you know, and I've been carrying it now for probably 35 years. It's been my honor to carry our flag all over the world, and you know, it's a thrill of a lifetime. You know, we did Pontiac Silverdome with 93,000 people in it, and for a young guy from Glens Falls, New York, to be standing in the middle of 93,000 people with the flag of the United States of America, having all those folks chanting, USA, USA, I get goosebumps now just talking about it.
Yeah, you mentioned from Glens Falls, of course. You know, you grew up in the weather like this. I'm sure you'd much rather just visit than live here now.
Well, you know, I have three older sisters, and one lives up there, and I had an event last night in Troy, New York, so I went up and spent the night with her, and I'm down in Syracuse tonight. Tomorrow I'm over in Buffalo. Saturday I'm in Meadville, Pennsylvania, and, of course, Sunday we're going to be there in Rochester at the Comic-Con. And, you know, I tell folks who've never been to a Comic-Con to check it out. There is something for everybody. You know, you see like movie quality costumes and then a kid with a box on his head, you know, but everybody's having fun. I really enjoy them.
Well, and that's part of the reason that we brought it to Rochester. We wanted to bring what we could and bring that experience here to Rochester, New York, and obviously include wrestling as a part of that, because wrestling is a part of pop culture. How do you feel about that nowadays, where it really wasn't as accepted as it is back when you were wrestling?
Yeah, it was kind of like the dark side professional wrestling, you know. And, of course, it evolved. We were doing National Guard armories and high school gyms. And then, boom, you're doing the Silver Dome, the Madison Square Garden. You know, it just mushroomed where it's the worldwide powerhouse, you know. Since I've had the opportunity to wrestle, I've wrestled in every state in the union, every province in Canada, in 30 different countries. It's amazing the appeal of wrestling around the world. Just last May, I was down in Christchurch, New Zealand. I said, nobody knows Tom Brady in Christchurch, but they'll go, ho!
Now you mentioned you were down in New York City. Was it WrestleCon this past weekend? What was that like? Because that was the center of the wrestling universe last weekend.
Yeah, it sure was. I mean, everybody was there. You know, for us, it's like old home because, you know, all the guys are scattered all over the country. Guys live in all different parts. So it was good to see DiBiase and, of course, Jake, of course, and, you know, the Crime Time kids. It's like old home week for us. And it's great for the wrestling fans because, I mean, you got so many guys in one location. And, you know, now the encyclopedia with all the wrestlers is very popular. So people bring those books, their action figures. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy that. Some guys don't enjoy autograph sessions. You know, and actually, it's really humbling, fellas. You know, just recently I was at an autograph session. I'm sitting there at the table. And you see this big, really rough, tough guy in line. He's working his way through the line, and he's eyeballing me. You know, I'm checking on security, and pretty soon he gets up to me, grabs my hand. He puts the grippers on, squeezes my hand. He goes, Hacksaw Duggan, me and my dad used to watch you together. And he gets watery-eyed. I tell you, fellas, it's humbling to have that kind of effect on folks. And it's something that's hard to explain.
I wanted to ask you just like a little experience. You had a nice feud with Andre the Giant, kind of towards the early part of your career. What was it? I mean, was Andre the Giant? I mean, listen, that guy could have done anything he wanted, I think, in the ring. But you guys all had to work together. What was it like working with Andre? I mean, especially and did he like you? That's a question.
Yeah, I had a good rapport with Andre, of course, and. You know, I used to joke, I was wrestling Andre, I get on the airplane next to a businessman, the guy look over at me and goes, I had a rough day at the office. I'd be like, brother, let me tell you, I just got done with a giant, and he still had villagers in his teeth from the night before. You know, Andre could be an irritable guy, but actually, he elevated me from a mid-card guy to a main event guy, where I was able to knock him out on Saturday Night Main Event, our marquee show. I knocked him out with my 2x4, and we went off the air with me standing over Andre the Giant, covered in my own blood, going, ho, with my 2x4, and that moved me up to a main event guy.
That was a beautiful time around that WrestleMania 4 where they had the tournament for the title, and you guys both caused each other to lose. I thought that was like just that really helped. I think it was exciting for both of your careers at that point.
Yeah, it really was. And, of course, it was a privilege. You know, a lot of folks remember me winning the first ever Royal Rumble, which is, like I said, it's probably the biggest feather in my cap. But as a kid from Glens Falls, New York, you know, my dad would bring me down to the city to watch the circus at Madison Square Garden. So as an adult, to drive up in front of MSG and see Hacksaw Duggan versus Andre the Giant, a thrill of a lifetime to be main event at the Garden. And to be in there with Andre, you know, it's a double whammy. And, of course, no matter what profession you're in, you sell out the garden. So, Andre, thank goodness I had a good rapport with him.
I think that's fantastic. And now, I don't know if you saw this or not last weekend. Did you see the thing that happened with Bret Hart during the Hall of Fame ceremony?
Oh, yeah, I sure did. Yeah, Bret's one of my best friends, so... Yeah, I saw what happened. I hope that guy never goes to Canada.
Him and Shawn Michaels, right? No.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Bret's like a national treasure up there. But that definitely, because you don't know if people have weapons nowadays or what's involved, but definitely not a smart move. I tell you what really struck me was to see Shane McMahon, the first guy making the move to help out Bret. And that says a lot about Shane. He's a stand-up guy.
Yeah, Travis Brown, Ronda Rousey's husband was all over.
Oh, it was a tsunami of wrestlers. Are you kidding? It was brutal. But he had it coming.
Yeah, I know. I mean, listen, would you ever? I never would expect anything like that. And it seemed as weird because they put it like in the center of the arena this year instead of doing it on a stage. So it really.
I think that'll be a one and done deal. They won't do that again.
Cool. Now, are you still out doing one man shows too? Because I know a couple of years ago we had you on, you were doing one man shows.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I'm doing one Friday night in Cortland.
Okay, cool, very cool.
Yeah, and Jake does them. Piper was the guy to start doing them, and I do them with Jake once in a while. We do them together. We do them separate, but Jake's a more adult-oriented show, to put it politely. Where I try to keep mine family-friendly because kids are a big part of our audience, you know. So yeah, I'll be down to Cortland. I think it's the Laugh Factory or something like that Friday night, and. I tell folks, if you want to hear some funny knock-knock jokes or jokes about your grandmother, then go somewhere else. Yeah. And we just tell wrestling stories about wrestling Andre and traveling with Jake, and folks seem to enjoy it. So I actually have done the show in 5 different countries, so it's been pretty successful.
That's cool. Now, you open up to questions in the crowd, too, when you do those, right?
Yeah, sure do. And sometimes we have to cut that off because it goes longer than the show, because there's some really knowledgeable wrestling fans. As there are, some people can read off baseball statistics off the top of their head. There's a lot of folks who can do that with wrestling and have some real knowledgeable questions.
Well, I mean, and you're a Hall of Famer, so I'm sure there's a lot of people that have studied your career and everything, and it's really, really great that you're coming to Rochester. And I will tell people that maybe if they ask you a question while you're getting an autograph on Sunday here at the Flower City Comic Con, I'm sure you'll answer questions as they're going through in line, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I enjoy talking with the folks and answer questions, taking pictures. Yeah, it's a fun time for me. You know, if it's fun for you, it's fun for the fans. The time goes by faster. I can't understand some of these guys that sit at a table miserable signing autographs, you know. We'll have the whole place hoeing in USA, and it's going to be a fun time in Rochester, tough guy.
I will say, well, I want to do one last thing before I let you go. I met you backstage at Ilya DiPaolo's, one of his wrestling fests in Buffalo at the HSBC Arena back there. My son was 10 years old. We were doing the radio show. We got press access to the back room, and you were nothing but kind. I've got great pictures of you and my 10-year-old son, who's now 30. I don't want to make anybody feel old.
Don't rub it in, brother.
Yeah, but I remember you were just so friendly, and you took a bunch of pictures with everybody, and you're just a wonderful person, and super psyched for you to come into Rochester Sunday. Cannot wait.
Well, thanks, fellas. I look forward to coming there. But before we go, let's do a hoe together. Huh. And if you're going to hoe like you mean it, guys. Let's go, baby.
Ready?
Hoe! That's some good hoeing.
Thank you so much for the time,
Thanks,
sir.
Thanks, fellas. We'll see you Sunday.
Yeah, I'll see you Sunday.
Thank you very much. All right, Jim. Hacksaw Duggan. Now, if you realize that Friday was last night, so don't go to Cortland this Friday looking for Hacksaw, because Jim's a busy guy. We had to tape that earlier in the week. But he won't be busy Sunday unless you're in line to get his autograph on your 2x4 or maybe on the 8x10. Or a piece of paper, but definitely come down to the Flower City Comic Con. And but next up in the next segment, we're going to talk with Chris Caden about the UPW show there tonight. You're listening to the Pain Clinic. And wait a second, if you have a call or a question or a comment, 222-1280, star 1280. You can text us at that number as well. We'll take your comments. We're going to rapid fire through some names too after we're done with Chris about WrestleMania. Get people's thoughts on people, including Sasha, which I mentioned earlier. So we'll do that real soon. Keep on stick. We got another 23 minutes left, so have faith in us. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. You might know this as Elias's Music. Elias, who was supposed to get destroyed by The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Little change of plans, and Word Life came out. John Cena. I mean, it wasn't even a match. It was just him coming out and beating up Elias. And then, of course, Monday night, we got The Undertaker coming out and beating up Elias. So, if you're Elias, you got a lot of rub there, that weekend. John Cena, Word Life, I thought it was great. I mean, except for the fact that he kept sticking his hands in our face.
As much as I wanted to see him bring that character back, damn, did that make him old.
Oh, man, did it. Yeah. He didn't want to take the hat off so much hair.
I'm like, wow, last time he did this, he was young and youthful. Now he looks old.
Yeah, sorry, John. Yeah. And we're not talking The Undertaker, because The Undertaker, that's natural.
Undertaker didn't look old. He just looked really red. Yeah, I want to know who the spray tan person was this weekend.
Hey, we were trying to figure it out because it was rubbing off on everybody last weekend.
Shawn Michaels had it all over his face. That or he had a plate of spaghetti at catering.
Yeah, and Charlotte got someone she was wrestling had it rubbed it all over her legs when they were in the ring.
Well, that either had to be Ronda or Becky's eye makeup.
Oh, was it? Because it was all over the place. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, and Chris Caden from UPW, as well as the training school, right?
That's right.
Flower City. Hold on. Let me turn to me a little bit. I want to see the rest of it. Flower City Wrestling Academy.
There you go.
I will say, we were talking about it a couple weeks ago because we saw Ashley, what's her name? Durbot?
Yeah.
Dorsbacher.
I love that, you know. And I will say, Danger wasn't too thrilled with that because he doesn't like when you guys sell for people who don't know what they're doing.
Well, she picked it up fast. I will actually give it to her. We actually trained with her for a couple hours before that, and she picked it up fast. She is a gigantic wrestling fan.
She choke slammed. Well, how tall is Matic?
Matic is about 6'1".
6'1", okay.
She
choke slammed him. It was great. I mean, and that and the stunner, and
gave the Scott Hall fallback.
Yeah,
I was trying to go out of the ring, but I didn't reach the ropes. I was like,
But no, that was really cool, and she's a cool girl. And we wanted to get her on the show sometime. I know she's no longer at Channel 13, but
She's working for the YMCA.
That's right.
God bless her.
Yeah, so that was kind of a fun segment. That was pretty cool. But so you guys are out now at the Comic-Con today. The show starts at 7 tonight, right?
That is correct. 7 o'clock. We are in the Blue Cross Arena, and we will be presenting a bunch of matches, some that have actually been announced already that I actually had no idea.
I was going to say, I have a whole list of them here. I mean, of course, being a Comic-Con, and this is the third year of doing it. The cosplay battle royale always ends the night, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's the main match of the night.
I know, but there's a lot of matches that have a lot of things riding on them too for your next show. So
yeah, this just came out of the blue within I want to say 48 hours ago because I had no idea of this.
Oh yeah, we'll go through them real quick. You got Cloudy taking Icon Ace on, and if Cloudy wins, he'll face Jay Freddy at Almost Legal.
Ugh.
So UPW No Limits Championship, Cameron versus Bam Bam versus Ryan Cassidy, Chris Worthless. If Cassidy or Worthless win the championship match at Almost Legal, or Almost Legal will become a triple threat. That's pretty cool. You got all these stipulations going on for the next show, so you're going to get a lot of new eyes on your product tonight.
You got it.
And I think were you in the match? And I'm going to throw this out there. This is last year.
Okay.
Do you remember when Jake the Snake Roberts left and he walked right by the ring?
Yes.
I kind of thought that was bizarre. I'm watching it, and it's like, and he's like, Jake goes, I don't do that anymore. He's telling us as he's walking towards it.
Jake is a kind soul, but at the same time, Jake is his own worst enemy.
Yeah,
there were so many complaints about Jake, but we'll leave it at that.
Okay, I know that he was like chain smoking the whole
time. Oh, Maron, he was outside every 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. We were situated with the Flower City Fear table right next to the door, so we kept seeing Jake over and over.
Jake is what you were doing.
We knew when he was coming. But I just thought it was bizarre last year when he left and he walked right by the ring. You know, and it's like, and you're not expecting the fans to go crazy. Yes, you are. People know who Jake the Snake Roberts is.
Of course.
But, you know, that was bizarre.
He did it on purpose.
Yeah, of course he did.
Probably.
Of course he did. You know, I mean.
He's got to get that publicity somehow.
Yeah, so, he was there for 2 days, and it was a long 2 days, it looked like, for him, you know, so.
It was a very long 2 days for him.
So then some more matches tonight. Defiance is taking on Rhythm and Booze. We get to see Rhythm and Booze again, and I love those guys.
It's the first time I've ever stepped foot in the ring with them.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been in the ring with them.
Yeah, I'm going to say, oh, man, when we first started doing this show so many years ago, some of those Rhythm and Booze guys used to call in here and when they were doing backyard stuff.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah.
Take a turn at the rock.
Yeah, yeah. They take 10 steps past the big pine tree, and, they would invite us out on the show every week. It was great. Sean and Art there. So
yeah.
It's like, I loved it. I love those guys, too. And it's like, you know, they're funny, and I haven't seen Art wrestle, and I can't remember the last time I saw Art wrestle.
Yeah, he just came back, and I had no, again, I have no idea of what goes on in the locker room. And he showed up and started wrestling. I was like, who's that guy? And my partner was like, oh, yeah, that's Art. I was like, oh, that's great. Good talking. No. Thanks. Okay.
You might, well, he used to wear a mask at one time. Mm-hmm. And what was it, Sean? What was his mask character's name?
I don't know what you're talking about. Kayfabe.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Respect.
Well, Sean used to wear a mask, too, so we won't get into that. You know?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Kayfabe.
Yeah. Just a Skeletor mask. You know, he was like a clown or something. I don't know. So then we got the UPW 585 Live Championship, Cheech versus Matt Wolf. And, if Matt Wolf wins, Cheech will get a rematch at Almost Legal. You got a lot of titles on the line at this Almost Legal.
You got to put them titles on the line. It makes people interested.
Got Nick Ando versus Jordan Brown. HC Loke was supposed to be in that, but he's out due to injury.
Yeah, I think he pulled something at an event, made the call, let us know, and Jordan Brown stepped in. So you're going to see a lot of these new guys, a lot of these rookies, like Matt Wolf taking on Cheech. That's one of my students, so I'm looking forward to that one.
Very cool. And I'm going to make a lie here in this match. It's UPW's tag team match. We're going to have Defiance versus the Vile Society. And the Process. No. Just the Process and the Vile Society.
Are you trying to say they're like us?
Well, we should move you in that match.
Yeah, I'm tired. I do not want to step foot in there with Hellcat, Jeremy Jensen, or Matic for that matter.
Sure.
I'm tired of wrestling them.
And then, of course, the Cosplay Battle Royale, which some of the pictures we see people in, like, I see a Spider-Man suit, I see Batman, I see X-Men.
Yes.
I remember we had Buzz Lightyear. I think it was Colin. Was it Colin?
Yes. Yep. Oh, yeah.
And the Tyrannosaurus Rex last year, right?
Yep. T-Rex made it. Pennywise was there. That's a good friend of mine, Risk, out of Virginia. I don't know if he's going to make it this year, but he's a big cosplay guy, and this is his money maker.
Sure. Do you enjoy doing the work in front of? I mean, you got a whole new audience when you're out there. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of banging noise does draw people's attention. I've noticed that every year you guys have been there. Whenever these people start hitting the mat, all of a sudden people are like, "What's that?" And they go and they all come up and start watching. Curiosity views, and you get people who get really into it, which is pretty cool. I think it's a great marketing tool, and I think help build that brand here in Rochester. You know.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, especially now with our school that we just moved, the Flower City Wrestling Academy. And
yeah, how do you guys get Gregor in there?
Can't
Gregor
tell you that.
Gillespie.
He came in, he checked it out, said hi to everybody. You know, it was really cool to meet him.
Guy who's undefeated in UFC.
Yeah, just walked in one day. It was like, hey guys, we're like, oh, what's up, yo.
That's really cool. His forte is mat wrestling.
Yes.
Which is good. I mean, but, you know, he came out to, you know, now you got to get him to work a show, right?
I would stay far away from that.
Yeah, he's hurt right now. So yeah.
I'm sure Rob could make that happen.
All right. So we'll see. But that, it's really cool that you got that picture. When that picture went up, I was like, blew my mind.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Because, I mean, he is a legit killer out there, you know.
He is, but he's actually probably, and this goes for most of the MMA guys that I've met, they are the nicest people. Reason being is probably because they know they can kill you in so many different ways.
They're good people to hang out with, I'll say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If stuff starts to go down, they're ready, you know.
Oh yeah.
So that's cool. We're gonna go break on that, man. That's a great show tonight. We're excited. It's very cool, and we'll come back, talk some more WrestleMania. I'm gonna throw some names out there, get our thoughts on them. 222-1280 Star Toy is the number if you want to give us a call. We'll be back right after this. I already played this one. Let's pick something new. How about the guy that we'd love to see, you know, in the WWE again? Wait for it. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Hello, Shinsuke Nakamura music. This is the old one, too, not with the singing and whatnot, but I love it still. Play the air violin to it. Welcome back to the show. I'm the Cashman with DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, Chris Caden from UPW Wrestling, and the Flower City Wrestling Academy is joining us. And Hey, Chris, how do people, if they want to learn how to wrestle, how do they contact the Wrestling Academy?
You can actually message us right on Facebook at the Flower City Wrestling Academy. I believe we're also on Twitter at 585 Wrestling, Instagram, Flower City Wrestling Academy. Just type it in and all that good social media pops up.
Yes, and I mean, much like a lot, I mean, social media is everywhere, and if you're not into it, then you're way behind,
yes,
folks. But I will say, now I'm going to throw some names out, and I want to get everyone's opinion on them. We'll start with number one, Ronda Rousey. Thoughts on Ronda, guys?
Not going to miss her.
Broken fist, broken hand.
That was mine. Definitely broken. Broken.
Ronda got hurt, yeah.
She came out all smiley, staring at Joan Jett, and then she got real serious.
Yes.
She did get real serious real quick.
She did. So, okay, the next one. Sasha Banks.
Get over it.
Sasha Banks tried to quit.
I don't disagree, but get over it.
You're a professional. Act it.
Leave.
Okay. I think Sasha, you know, I mean, when you hear that she threw fits in two different places, made a scene two different places about it, you know, she's on a week vacation right now. Maybe that's good. And unfortunately, Bailey had to lose on Monday night.
Well, Bailey was part of the making of the scene. So.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was. Okay, number three, Charlotte Flair.
I like the helicopter. Yeah. I wish it actually landed
in the
arena.
I thought that was a bit much. But
what about her date for the Hall of Fame?
Andrade.
Yeah, find out she's dating Andrade. Now she's posting pictures everywhere of her and Andrade.
Yeah, so. And she's also doing the back elbow all of a sudden.
Yeah, interesting. Maybe she's learning something from him. Okay, Kofi Kingston.
About time.
A highlight of the weekend.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about Kofi. We've only got a couple
minutes. Killed the crowd.
You think
in a good way.
Yes. Yeah, in a good way.
Yeah.
Kofi, you know, what is this? A pat on the back a month later? Or is this, you know, maybe he'll run for a while with it?
As long as we don't listen to superstar Billy Graham, we're okay.
Oh, yeah. He is a tool.
Yeah. Yes. I'm thinking, here's what I'm hoping, is WWE realizing, you know what? We are constantly trying to force things on people and mm-hmm. people don't like it. Here's something that happened naturally. Let's ride it until the people wear out.
Okay, exactly. I think that sounds good.
Maybe then they can have the writers focusing on doing some creative writing.
Maybe.
Can I just point out that every single one of the authorities' predictions from last
week
were
wrong?
We're wrong.
Yay!
I'm sure authority's not listening this week. So I will throw out that Big E got hurt, unfortunately.
When he did a split.
He did a split, and he got a torn meniscus. He's going to be out for a while. Maybe said 6 weeks, I think, maybe, but maybe longer.
Any time when Big E is not on TV is too long.
Yeah. Yeah, but Nia Jax got hurt. What about her? She actually has to go into double knee surgery.
She can be gone.
I love Poor the truth.
Poor Tamina's not going to be on TV anymore.
That means there'll be less people on the hurt list now that Nia's out, right?
I was going to say, yeah.
Facts.
You injure one person to save 10.
Yes. That's terrible. All right. Also, some other news. Undertaker's coming to Niagara Falls Comic Con. That will be
into your savings account.
Right?
June 9th, if you have the $165 to get an autograph or $180 for the photo op ticket, ooh, you can go to the Niagara Falls Comic Con right now and sign up for it and pay for it.
I do not care who you are. You will not catch me paying $180 to have a picture taken with you.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That's too much money.
That is a lot of money. It's like, but people will. I think people will.
People with expendable income?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, and plus, isn't the dollar here worth more up in Canada?
Still not worth it.
It's not significant enough.
No, not that.
So there's been some changes in writing for WWE. A guy named Robert Evans was fired. Road Dogg BG James has been reassigned from his head of SmackDown writing.
He's sick of having everything changed on him at the last minute.
And being the only one on the road, his partner didn't leave the office in Stanford.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kurt Angle is doing StarCast 2. I think we might have mentioned that last week. We're done for the week. Thank you so much, Chris Caden, for coming up one
Thank
more time
you.
Tonight, 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock. You will be at the Blue Cross Arena,
right,
part of the Comic Con. You go into the Comic Con, you get a free wrestling show, and it is a full wrestling show. So come on out tonight. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Danger Boy. We'll see you next week here. Same bat time, same bat channel. Body slam somebody alone.